Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Emergency Podcast, Quarterback Movement Top Pick Exchange Edition. We're talking about the basically three-team trade of San Francisco receiving pick three. They end up trading two future firsts and a future third, along with the 12th pick to get up to three. Presumably to take a quarterback. Maybe there's some draft day type shenanigans going on. I doubt it. It's for a quarterback. And then you have Miami accumulating 12 and the two future firsts with the third. And then they use the 12th pick plus their 2022 first to move up to six. And that is with Philadelphia. So lots of moving pieces here in terms of the ordering of these things. So the first thing I would say is that I think Miami, unbelievable team build going forward. They got 6, 18, 36, 50, and 81 in this draft. They have San Francisco's first next year. Notably, they chose to trade their future first instead of San Francisco's future first. So that might tell you what they're thinking about in terms of their contending window right now. So a first, a second, two-thirds, their own third, and San Francisco's third. And then they have San Francisco's first, their first, a second, and a third in 2023. So really coming up roses. There's some. This is basically a continuation of the Laremy Tunsil deal, just continuing to play out. So now that they've basically accumulated two more future first out of this deal, so pretty interesting there in terms of how that all is cascading down. This is going to become like the Dwight Howard trade. There's the remnants of the Dwight Howard trade, which happened like 10 years ago from Orlando, are still there's still implications going on in terms of how trades happened this week. So that's notable there. I have a feeling that could go on for a while with the Laremy Tunsil deal. So Miami, really good team build going on, lots of assets, and I think that they, you know, are probably going to address. Six puts them right in the range of a wide receiver to take. It's curious to me that they went now. I'm not sure why they went now in terms of going all the way up there to get that pick. It just seems like I wonder if that deal goes away. It's just a curious trade why they do that right now. I have seen some theories kicked around. I do think that there is a potential that this could be potentially a Watson move. Both of these could be looked at through the Watson lens. You know, if San Francisco's dealings with Houston have resulted in saying, hey, we want to crack it at a top quarterback, and we also want multiple defensive starters, they could potentially make that happen. I doubt that that's what's happening, but that's one theory that I've heard and read. The other one is that if you're trying to sort of continue to load up a team in terms of some picks, Miami's got a really attractive offer. They've got basically two firsts now. They got a first next year, and they got two firsts in 2023. So they got five firsts they can trade. They also have Tua. So if Tua is the answer, that Houston sees, moving from three to six and accumulating more assets, that is plenty of that doesn't actually hurt their negotiating position. So that's one thing I've also sort of been looking at and read a little bit on. I think that those are low probability events right now. We'll talk about the team I think is going to try and land him ultimately. But that's the curious thing is why they did that sixth thing now. And I'm trying to think of like what the third level jiu-jitsu is that they're trying to do. And because they think pretty far ahead. I'd be surprised if they have a player that high on their board right now, as pro days are still going on. It's just a really interesting move. There's just a lot of moving pieces there. Unless they have a top three that's just so much better than the rest of the positions. I'm just not sure that's this draft. So, but that's a curious one. That's why I think that there's maybe more to this, would sort of be my initial settling. In terms of the quarterbacks, that's why I sort of give this an incomplete on Tua. This rules out one possibility, which is they draft somebody. So that I think puts that down to a very negligible amount. They wouldn't have moved if they were going to do that. So that moves down that probability. But I think it does potentially increase the potential for a trade. So if you're trying to load up future picks in a deal, right, this is a deal that would make you do that. And if a team that you're dealing with thinks that two is an answer, that's kind of that's a way that you would go about this. So I think it potentially increases the likelihood of a trade for either Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. But I think on the whole, it's better for Tua. I think it's also better for Tua on the whole because that's probably an offensive weapon of some type at six. So that's sort of my take on him. I think it's good. I don't think it's going to move, and I'll be interested to see the dynasty reaction. I don't think it's like an A+ victory for Tua. This might be like, I don't know. This might be like a B+, something like that, in terms of grading this trade for your Tua stock. I don't think this is an A+. I don't think that it moves them absolutely out. Right? I can see a scenario where it actually makes it more likely that he gets traded. I will say, I think it does make it more likely that he is a starting quarterback this year, because this essentially rules out the potential that he will lose a quarterback battle in training camp. That would sort of be the other thing that I think helps him. So if he's not with Miami, I think he's someplace else as a starter, as a trade chip for either Watson or Wilson. And when you look at that, he's a starter and not competing with Trey Lance or whoever they could have taken at three. I think that's probably where you see the ultimate uptick in his valuation. So, you know, that B+ might be actually be an A- in terms of, I don't think it necessarily precludes him from being on the move, but it probably pigeonholes him into being a starter someplace else. So, and that would either be my inclination right now. That would either be Seattle or in Houston. This is obviously bad news for Jimmy Garoppolo. His time there is limited. They have said that they're committed to him in 2021. I could believe that. You could actually convince me of that. In terms of if you wanted to take some time to develop someone, we have seen that with the Alex Smith model. They have traded up, taken Mahomes in Kansas City and played a Jimmy Garoppolo style quarterback and Alex Smith ahead of him. It was actually Alex Smith's one of his best years of his career. So I could see that as a potential framework. And if you're looking at quarterbacks, you know, there are developmental questions about Trey Lance and Justin Fields. I wonder if how much of that is stereotypes. That's one of the things that concerns me. I think that Lance is actually much more pro-ready than people would imagine. And any situation there with Fields, that's something that's been bandied about too. Again, I think some of that's stereotype. I think that's some of that's just, canned jargon in terms of some of the stereotypes that are out there. So I do think it there's a potential for Jimmy G in 2021. Again, the options there are pretty nice, and you could see a year there. Otherwise, maybe he's a trade chip. Is that trade chip to Houston? Is that trade chip to the Patriots? Right. You sort of start looking. Is it to Denver? Right. You start looking around and saying, what could be the next shoe to fall in terms of this Cascade deal? I think that there's options. I'll talk about those all in a minute. The other thing I think that the person that this helps the most is Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts is this rules out them drafting somebody that's going to be an immediate threat to him, I think, unless they're sort of sitting there at Mac Jones at 12. Again, I don't know if you make that deal if your plan is to trade a quarterback. They have done a Cascade move before, so maybe they sit at 12, they've got additional assets, and they can move up to snipe a Mac Jones or something like that. I don't think that's what they're doing. I think that this is more fuel to the idea that they are this is a Jalen Hurts offense. So I actually do think that this is good news for Jalen Reagor as well. Rules out Jamar Chase as his as their pick at six. And it probably rules out Ja'Marr Chase as their pick at 12. And so you sort of look at that and you say, all right, that's very helpful to Jalen Reagor. There's less of a likelihood of Kyle Pitts landing there as well. So you sort of look at those things like, hey, there's a less likelihood of an offensive weapon landing there. If you are not sold on Jalen Reagor, I think this opens up a sell opportunity for him. So can you get what you paid last year? Don't think that's a horrible idea. Again, I still like Jalen Reagor, but if you can get what you paid for him last year, I think you can probably recoup that with a very similar asset this year. So if that's a late first, I think you're going to get a similar profile this year ultimately, like in the Rashad Bateman type mold of the position. This also all but rules out competition for Brandon Ayuk, which is nice. I didn't think that that was a realistic possibility, but there was some... I was engaged in a Twitter debate, which are always fun, and someone was saying, oh, you know, he's not out of the woods yet. And I'm like, yeah, he's already out of the woods. This is all assuring him out of the woods. So that's good for him as well. I think that there's a really good chance that there's going to be three quarterbacks in the top 10. Three quarterbacks in the top three. The first three picks off the board are three. I think if you're the Jets, you got to reset the clock. I just don't know how you're going to pick up Darnold's option and basically pay him like $25 million over the next 2 years. And then what, tag him? And like, I don't know. You're at the point where it's probably pretty unlikely. And again, you could look at some of the PFF's done some of the advanced analytics on basically once you know a sample size of players based on their priors, sort of how do they perform. Like, this isn't good for Darnold. So we know a lot about Darnold, and it's not a good track. So that'd be the thing I would say with him is, you know, I think the Jets are probably going to have to take a quarterback. And so I would imagine that the first three picks off the board are quarterback. With that said, I think that the quarterback that goes to San Francisco is going to be the 102 in Superflex. That would be my thought. I think it's going to be a pretty consensus option ultimately, because that narrative is going to build and build and build. And you watch that pick, and that's assuming that like maybe Ja'Marr Chase doesn't land like a dream landing spot, or that Najee Harris doesn't land like a dream landing spot. Not even sure what those are at this point. I don't even know if you sort of like look at the running back matrix. I'm sort of. It's not San Francisco now. That would have been an open one. Like, it's not the Jets either. Like, it's maybe Miami, maybe Pittsburgh. I'm not even sure that those are, like, dream landing spots. I think the dream landing spot of this is going to be the quarterback in San Francisco. And again, I'm not sure for a wide receiver, is Cincinnati, like, a dream landing spot? For Ja'Marr Chase, is Detroit? The answer to that question is no. Like, Denver's probably not in. Dallas probably isn't in. The Giants aren't a dream landing spot. You know, then you're getting all the way back to Philly again at 12. Yeah, I struggle to see what the dream landing spot there is in that Ja'Marr Chase range. You know, maybe it's the Chargers at 13. That could be a potential dream landing spot. Again, that's probably later than he would go. But, you know, you just sort of do the math on this, and I'm not sure that there's that spot that could really vault a wide receiver up. And then ultimately you look and you say, all right, people are going to really juice up. All the comps are going to be made to Matt Ryan and all the stuff and all the comps of RG3 pre-injury and all that stuff for a young quarterback. Look, they can come in and produce right away and all these things. Like, this is just going to be a runaway train. So I expect that quarterback to be quarterback two. And honestly, if it's not Zach Wilson, like, it's probably warranted. So it'll be interesting to see is sort of the fallout from that. I think that the most interesting spot now in this draft is obviously going to be sort of what happens with the Jets. I'm presuming they're taking a quarterback. I guess I could be convinced out of that. If they don't, like, I can see why they wouldn't. But I would expect that pick's probably traded. So I expect three picks in the top three to be quarterbacks. Yeah, those top three picks, and then you have Atlanta sitting in a power position. They've got the option for the last one on the board. If Carolina wants a starting quarterback, if they want a franchise quarterback, and they're sold on quarterback four, that's the trade chip. If Atlanta's sitting there, and if I'm Atlanta, I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, you know, what's the situation look like with Matt Ryan going forward? You know, they basically guaranteed him the next 2 years, essentially. That's what they did. If they wanted to sort of go into a rebuild, they could have eaten, you know, the cap hit on Matt Ryan, you know, shed salary other places, and you know, just basically ate it, going to, you know, take a quarterback in this, eat this year, and then, you know, you sort of start anew with some of the salary cap stuff. Next year you can cut them and, you know, sort of deal with it then. Instead, they sort of kick that number down the road a couple of years. So it essentially locks Ryan into being next year, being their quarterback next year. So that might be a potential, hey, you have to sit and wait 2 years. Question is like, you know, we've seen some of the cap stuff. It doesn't really matter. What's the trade market going to look like for a guy like Matt Ryan? Yeah, I assume that there will be buyers. And, you know, San Francisco would have been one of the ones I would have mocked as being a potential buyer. That probably makes it less likely. And maybe that's stuff that has gone on. You know, maybe those are already negotiations that had happened, and they're like, yeah, we're not trading them. So I think that rules out that potential landing spot next year. And maybe it's Philly. You know, we'll see. There could be options. But again, the number's going to be really bad. So in terms of his cap, his dead number. Do you sit on a quarterback for 2 years? And you sort of made this play like, hey, we're going to contend right now. And if we're going to contend right now, is trading down, getting a pick going to help us? Or we're not going to pick this high again. We're not going to get an opportunity to pick this high again. Let's take the quarterback here. I could see that. They're in a really interesting position. If that happens, that quarterback is going to be a value. Because they're going to be sitting for a couple of years. They're probably going to go in the late first of a super flex draft. You're going to get a top 10 quarterback. You can be able to be patient on it. Again, if you're in a deep rebuild, like that's not a bad, like that's a pretty sweet option. So that's really the thing that I would say about it is I think that they're the most interesting pivot spot, because then you look at the teams that have quarterbacks and have needs that have needs at quarterback behind them. You know, Detroit, probably not a trade up candidate. Cincinnati, not a trade-up candidate. Carolina's the big one at 8. Denver at 9. The Giants, probably not. You know, and you sort of look like, you know, Miami, obviously not. You know, Minnesota, you sort of getting down the line here in terms of some of these guys. You know, could New England potentially pull that off? You know, that's essentially what San Francisco just paid. Yeah, that's essentially the deal that they just paid. Would be the move up cost for New England if they wanted to get up there. You know, so you keep looking at it and you say, you know, what's the trade down options? I think Atlanta's going to have suitors. It's probably going to be Carolina. You know, and some of these other teams I think could potentially be in, and or they're sitting there and just taking the pick. Right, that's a really interesting conundrum or luxury I think that they're going to be in. They're going to be in a power play spot, I think, at 4. All right, what else we got here? So, rundown of the QB matrix here. I was just looking at basically the teams that I think have high priorities at quarterback. So there are 5 of them: Jacksonville, the Jets, Carolina, Denver, and San Francisco. So I'm penciling in right now rookie 1 at Jacksonville, rookie 2 for the Jets, and rookie 3 for San Francisco. That leaves Carolina and Denver as the suitors there for quarterbacks. Again, those are probably the top quarterback trade up candidates to 4, if it's not Atlanta sitting there taking them. The teams with questionable quarterback priority, are they high quarterback? What do they feel? Is Watson in Houston? How's that situation all boil out? Is that a potential landing spot for one of these spots? Right? Is 2 potentially still Watson? Right? Is that again? I think the top 3 are going to be quarterbacks. Is it going to be the Jets taking the quarterback at 2? I think is still an option there. So how Watson ends up shaping out is a questionable one in terms of how that'll go. Seattle now as well with Wilson. The Patriots are potential fallout from this whole roulette wheel in Atlanta with Matt Ryan. So you sort of look at this and you say, all right, who's going to, if Houston's going to be sort of in that, in the Carolina, Denver, you know, trading candidate type situation, right? That could potentially fill one of those, and you know, they get a pick coming back, something like that. I'm not sure how Carolina's got the assets to pull this off. That would be the thing that I would say. I'm not sure what they can do, what they can offer to Houston if Houston's set on riding this thing out with Watson. So we'll see. But I'd be interested to see how they go about that, because that's probably not the option for a quarterback. And even if you go like 8 to 4, it's going to cost you a lot. You're not going to have enough to tack on to get to offer to Watson, right? It's going to cost you a first, and you're basically offering quarterback four in this class plus a first, plus a couple of future first for Watson. Like, I don't know if that gets done. So that's going to be a tough one to see there, how that all boils out. But I think that then you sort of look at the ancillary falloff. Is a team like Denver in the market for Darnold? The San Francisco moving up for a quarterback probably limits the market for Darnold a little bit in terms of him landing with a starter spot. So we look at Tua and we say, hey, this probably helps him out. We look at Darnold and we say, hey, this probably limits some of his ability. Does he potentially take a developmental spot someplace else? Is it in Carolina? Do they take another shot in trying to develop one of these guys? Is it Denver a potential option? Is he a trade chip to someone like New England, for example? Or, you know, Atlanta probably less likely, I would think, with how they're constructed. So he's one that I sort of look at and say he could be one of the guys that, hey, this might be a Rosen situation. Right? This might not be a situation where everyone's like, oh, they can trade Rosen, he'll be a starter someplace else. And then you sort of look at it and you're like, I don't really know. You know, maybe he's in play for like Washington, right? Maybe that. But again, he's on the fourth year of his deal. They're gonna have to pay him next year, and then he's up against the tag. You know, maybe Pittsburgh. But again, same thing, right? You sort of look at this and he's the one that's, it's going to be really tough for him to find a home. So I think he's a big loser in all of this. So I should go back from the top and say, you know, do the Greeny Open, the Mike Greenberg Open, and say, here's how this trade impacts Sam Darnold. and it's the cold open. Let's just see how you can get there. But yeah, so he's the one that I think hurts from this ultimately probably the most, because that rules out like San Francisco's potential landing spot for him. And you sort of look at the teams that have needs, and he's probably either starting for the Jets or, you know, I don't know how he's starting someplace else. I mean, I'm just looking down the list of teams that have, you know, that have quarterbacks that need it on the quarterback matrix, and I'm really struggling. Like, it sounds like I'm talking a lot, but I'm really struggling to see how he lands, because he's, I mean, maybe Houston, I guess. If that's a trade, right? That's, I guess, a place where he could start. It's hard to see Carolina. It's hard to see. I mean, maybe it's Denver, but they got a similar situation with Drew Lock. Obviously, not San Francisco now. Not Miami. Is it a Seattle trade? Is that something that's in play? Maybe. You know, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing where he lands with a job. There's just not many sitting out there unless there's some really big movement, which I struggle to see at this point. Because again, this kind of rules out the Kirk Cousins trade too. You just keep looking down like all the things that could have potentially swung through San Francisco. You know, the Matt Ryan trade is one that was rumored. The Kirk Cousins trade is one that was rumored. You know, the Sam Darnold being interested there, like that closes off all of those valves. So that's really, as I'm looking at this, it's an interesting, like, I Sam Darnold's probably the guy that's going to get squeezed out of all of this more than, you know, you know, it's going to be like Jimmy G's the worst and then Sam Darnold's the second. So that's basically the rundown of that. Again, let's look at some additional guys that this might help. Probably doesn't help a guy like Will Fuller, because that puts them right in the range to take like a Jamar Chase. Maybe it puts Gesicki in danger too. That could be a Kyle Pitts pick at six. So you sort of look at those situations, and again, they have more committed to Gesicki than they do Fuller. And maybe Fuller profiles more as a wide receiver too, but that actually could be an interesting value situation on Fuller. So that would be something I'd look at. It's probably going to make it less likely that San Francisco goes with a running back. Would be one thing I would say, because, you know, you have other needs. You're going to have fewer picks going forward. You're going to spend a top 100 pick on a running back? Or are you just going to keep riding this UDFA thing out that you do really well? I think that's a potentially good thing for Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. The other thing as I look at this for Miami, like 6, 8, like they see themselves in a contending window, 6, 18, 36, 50, 81. That 36 pick sort of looks really nice for a guy like Travis Etienne. Yeah, 18 looks kind of in the range for, you know, that 18 to 36 range is something that could be, you know, if they were going to move around again too, like that would be a potential spot for a running back. So that's the situation we're going to watch for Gaskin. I think that's the range there. We're going to have to potentially dodge someone on Gaskin, maybe 50. Maybe that could be like Javonte Williams, something like that. But I think in the first 2 days, we'll probably know how Gaskin's doing. So that would be a thing that I'd watch. Again, San Francisco sort of shores up, I think, receiver. You're not going to have to really worry about Brandon Ayuk getting superseded anytime soon because they're not going to have any picks. So that's pretty much the rundown. I wrote like 4 pages of notes in reaction to this trade. It's kind of comical. It's all over the place. There's arrows, the whole nine. There's matrices, there's lists, there's graphs, there's charts, the whole nine. So, just another note here too on Jimmy Garoppolo. They can cut him. They'd save like $23.5 million cutting him. Only take 2.8 dead cap. So I think the most likely outcome is that he's on the roster as a starter week one. Could they be blown over by a trade and recoup some of those future assets? Can they grab a future first from Garoppolo from like the Patriots or something like that? You know, maybe. And they could sort of recoup some of those assets. That could be something that they look to do too. But them talking and saying, committing to him, like that's probably a bit of poker as well, right? That's, you take that stuff with a grain of salt. So I can absolutely see him be the starting quarterback there week one, but at the same time, I can see like that's just totally blowing smoke and they're going to go with a rookie and they're just trying to preserve some trade value for him. So, and not put themselves in a Rosen type situation. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode, an emergency quarterback centric trade, multi-team, multi-future first trade, real fun. And I'll say one thing I did note there. So this happened where there was a big trade up before the draft. It was April 14th, 2016 was the trade up, for Jared Goff. And then a couple, I think it was a couple days later, the Philadelphia trade up to 2 occurred. And that was 2 weeks before the draft. We are, more than a month away from the NFL draft now. So buckle up. There's going to be more things to drop. And we'll see how some of these assets play into some of those moves. But definitely exciting time of year. And, we're definitely seeing some more action. And I kind of wonder, too, if some of the draft day stuff from last year where there wasn't a ton of trading, if teams sort of learn from that and say, hey, this is going to be tougher to do virtually. We're not going to have everyone in the room. All those things, like, this could be tougher to do. And we need to basically figure this out a little bit better than we did, get it done kind of in advance and strike while the iron's hot. But the interesting thing to me is I don't understand why Miami went back up to 6 now. Like, that's the thing I sit here and think about and I say, huh, maybe there's something more there. So that's going to be the thing that I'm going to watch. I don't think Miami, I think it's very likely Miami's not done. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.